Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful.
Good. Wonderful. I like that word. Wonderful. That is a good word. That's a good word. Well, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
We'll never have another, what is this, August 26, 2017, so we need to make the most of it. It's the day God's given us.
27.
Okay, like I said, we've got a chance to make something of today. We've already made yesterday. Amen. Okay, you're right. I'm a day behind. I'm sorry. I've been hanging around people with concussions, and I feel like I've got one now. Okay, no. Hey, whatever day it is, it's good to be here today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, I want to talk today. For the next couple of weeks, I kind of just got done with a series about faith and about things it takes to have the kind of faith that can drive our lives throughout the rest of our lives. And actually, my daughter kind of started me thinking about this. Katie kind of started me thinking about this. So I'm going to start on the next couple of weeks talking about God's promises to us. Because it takes faith to believe those promises. The Bible is full of thousands, literally thousands of promises that God has given us. And guess what? He keeps every one of them, amen? He does not go against what His Word says. Now, there are some promises that have stipulations. There are some promises that were made to specific people. And then there are some promises that can be made to any and all believers if we only have faith and believe what that promise says. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible. Today, I'm going to read one verse. This one verse is one of my favorite verses in all of God's Word. And I believe there's five promises that are contained within this one verse. And we're going to talk about those briefly this morning. That verse is Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
Amen.
How many of you got that as a memory verse? Anybody know Romans 8, 28? Well, you're fixing to if you don't know it, amen? We're fixing to know it, amen? And I'm going to tell you what, this is a verse that you can draw on, and this is a verse that gives me great hope, especially in times when things are going on in my life. I don't exactly understand, but I know something. We serve a God who's going to be with us through the darkest moments of our life and with us when we're on the mountaintop. Amen?
Amen.
And that's worth shouting about this morning because He is a loving God. He loves us. We can't do anything so bad that God would not love us. I want you to understand that. There's nothing you have done in your life that will change how God loves you.
Amen.
And the sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. Because there's some people that have told me before, well, preacher, I've done some terrible things in my life. I just know God just, He can't forgive me for what I've done. Let me tell you something. He not only can forgive you, He will forget about it. Amen.
Amen.
You just come to know Him and you serve Him the rest of your life. And I can promise you this. I'm not going to say it's going to be a bed of roses because it's not. We're going to face trials. We're going to face things, but if we stand on the promises, the old hymn, standing on the promises, if we stand on those promises God has given us, I can promise you one thing, you will be blessed in the end. You'll be blessed. And you'll see that as you progress on through your life. So I'm going to ask those of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to read one verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Father God, I just ask now, Lord, in the next few minutes, You add Your blessings to the reading of Your Word. Lord, help us to empty ourselves of us so that we can get this Word from You, God, and so that we can be attentive to what You've got to say today, Lord. Let it not be anything about me, but let it be all about You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you been through some dark times in your life? Raise your hand. Hey, I hate to tell you, if you hadn't, you're going to, amen. If you have not, you are going to go through some. You're going to go through some things in your life when you're sitting there and you're going, God, I just don't understand this. God, this does not make sense. Why am I having to do this? I think of Job when I think of somebody like that, amen. I'm going to talk about him in just a little bit. But guys, we're going to face them. We're going to face them. But this verse right here gives us five promises, I believe, that we can hold on to. If you'll just understand what this verse means. And this is what we're going to kick off this series with today. But there's a lot of promises I want to talk about in the next few weeks. I want to talk about the promises of God to give us eternal life if we just believe on Him. A place called heaven He's promised for us. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to never destroy this earth again by water as He did in the days of Noah. There's so many promises. He promised Abraham a land he never actually got to see. But He became the father of many nations, just as God promised Him. So there's a lot of promises I want to talk about in the next few weeks. You may have asked, How can anything good come from something bad? How can anything good come from murder, from rape, from divorce, from death? How can anything good come from that? Well, from a worldly perspective, there is nothing good that can come from that. I want you to understand that. Anytime we're talking about things here that deal with God's Word and from this pulpit up here, there's always going to be two perspectives on everything. There's going to be the world's perspective, and there's going to be God's perspective. If you're going to listen to what the world has to say, then everything that happens bad is bad, and it should have never happened to begin with. But if you're going to believe in God, who sent a part of Himself in a man named Jesus, who died on the cross for us, we just honored His death, burial, and resurrection right here, then you're going to believe that all things will work together for good. Amen? Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, it's good to be in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Guys, I'm telling you something. You're going to go through some times in your life. I've been through plenty of them. And I'm going to tell you one thing. This verse is very true. This verse is very true. I've been able to see the results of some of the things I've gone through already. But guess what? We're not going to be able to see all of them necessarily. But we will one day when we get to heaven, those of us who are born again believers, we will understand then why a lot of these things happen. But guys, in the meantime, we got to hold on to the promises that God gives us here. You see, this verse is a promise. This verse is a promise. God lets us know that all things work together for good if we know Jesus.
Amen.
I believe there's five things that we can take from this, five promises we can take for this. I'm going to start with number one right here. If you're keeping your notes here, we're going to begin with number one right here, right now. And the first one is this. His promises are certain. His promises are certain. How do we know that in this verse? Because this verse starts out by saying, and we know. We know. What was Paul saying there? He's like, hey, you can write this down. This is guaranteed right here. God's telling the truth to you right here. We know. God's promises are certain. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? There are many things in life I'm not sure about. I'm going to tell you that right now. But we do live in a world of uncertainty. We live in a world of uncertainty. I'm uncertain what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know one thing, whatever it brings, God's in control. Amen?
Amen.
God is in control. God's going to guide the way for me. I may not understand it when it happens, but I'm just going to trust Him. I'm just going to lean on Him and not on my own understanding. Amen. See, that's where we mess up. That's when this promise does not mean a whole lot to us. It's when we try to figure things out ourselves. Guys, God is God and we are not. That's the bottom line. Amen?
Amen.
God is God and we are not. And we're not going to ever understand sometimes the things He chooses to do. But everything has a purpose that God allows to happen in our lives. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. How many of you believe all things happen for a reason?
Amen.
Some people say, oh, preacher, sometimes things are just accidents. Let me tell you something. When a death occurs, there was a purpose behind that. And it may have just been simply this. That's a lot of time I was going to give you, but I'm going to work something good out of this. You know, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You will not add to, and you will not take away from the days God has ordained you to live on this earth.
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying. I used to think differently when I was a younger Christian, when I was a younger believer. I used to think, well, God is... Did you just take them because somebody had done something wrong and somebody had done something bad? No, God had already planned that before that person was even born. He'd already ordained the number of days they were going to have before that person was born. Now, I've said this before too. You can certainly change the quality of the years that God has given you by taking care of yourself and doing the right things.
Amen.
But you're not going to add to or take away one day of your life. You might say, well, preacher, if you just walk out in front of a car and it hits you, it's going to kill you. Not if it's not your time, it's not. There have been many people that have been hit by cars that are still alive today, amen. You know why? Because God had not ordained them to leave this earth yet. So God has promised to take care of us while we're here on this earth. Our life is full of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why we better be prepared as though today is our last day on this earth, amen. It could be our last day for all we know. I don't know when I'm going to die. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm not in a hurry to get there. Amen. I've still got a few things I'd like to do here on this earth. But when God's ready, I'm ready. We got to understand that. Without God, there is no hope. If you believe that, say amen. Without God, there is no hope. How do people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior make it? I ask myself that question all the time. And you know what? They don't. They think they're making it. They think things are going good. But one day they're going to realize money cannot buy you happiness. Money cannot buy you hope. Money cannot buy you the things that God can provide you through His promises.
Amen.
Can't do it. But some people think, oh, I'm going to pursue all this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this. Life is good. You may think life is good, but a life without God is no good. Amen?
Amen.
A life without God is heading down a dead-end road. You're going to end up crashing. How do I know that? Because I did it. There's plenty of people in this room right now that could tell you, oh, I was having the time of my life until I ran into that wall that I didn't see in front of me. And then God woke you up and God provided a means for you to come out of whatever it was you were in and move into the right path that He wants you on now. But guess what? That's uncertainty. We don't know what's lying around the corner here. But without God, there is no hope. For the person who trusts in God, uncertainty is okay because God is in control.
Amen.
It's okay to be uncertain. You know why? Because if you know Jesus, He's in control.
Amen.
He's going to take care of you. He's going to move you in the right direction.
Amen.
That's our confidence. That's our confidence. You know, sometimes political candidates, they're running for office and they'll say this right here, I stand on my record. Well, some of them standing on shaky ground. Amen. But you know what? Some of them will say that. But guys, let me tell you this. Our faith stands on the record of what God's done in our life. Our faith. That's how we can stand up and say, look, I stand on my faith that God is good and God is going to continue to take care of me and I'm going to continue to serve Him the rest of my life. Let me tell you something. If nothing but bad things happen to you the rest of your life and you're saved, then you ought to be rejoicing. Amen?
Amen.
That's hard to say. That's hard to believe. That's hard to do because the world would say, man, you're crazy. You ought to turn away from that God you believe in. Look at all the stuff that's happened to you. But look at all the stuff that's going to happen one day. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm thinking about. What's going to happen one day? I can't be worried about the here and now. If Jesus took it, why can't I? If Jesus faced punishment and was ridiculed and made fun of and rejected, then should I expect better? No, not necessarily. We're going to still face that kind of persecution, right? But I'm going to tell you something. That faith is that record of what God's done for us. Let's look at promise number two. His promises are complete. His promises are complete. How do we know that in this verse? Because it says all things. He didn't just say some things. He said all things work together. Completeness. It doesn't matter how many terrible things have happened to you in your life. All of those are going to work together and God's going to do something good out of them.
Amen.
God's going to do something great with them. You just got to believe that. You got to trust that. All things work together for good. Guys, this means everything that you've ever experienced and ever will experience. All of it. Good, bad, indifferent, it does not matter. All of it's going to work together for your good one day. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
It's going to all work together for your good one day. Sometimes as believers, we can see how some things work together for good, but not others. We've had some things happen around us here in the last week or so. We've had some tragic deaths around us the last week or so. Those certainly don't make sense, do they? They don't make sense. A young girl that I shared with you the other week went to high school with us and graduated a couple years ago, tragically killed in an accident. Doesn't make sense. But you know what? God's going to work something out of that. For those people who are believers that are in her family and surrounding her, something good is going to come out of this eventually. It may not happen immediately, and it may not even happen in their lifetime. But some of us that live beyond even her family may actually see the good that happened because of it. So it's going to come. It's going to come. But guys, our joy as believers is in the knowledge that God is sovereign in everything. And that He's in control. We serve a sovereign God. That means He is in control and what God says goes. Amen.
Amen.
When God's had enough, God's going to act the way He feels is appropriate to act in that situation. And nothing we can say or do is going to change that. So we need to be living our lives as though we're saying, God, you know what? I know you're in control, and I know at any minute you could allow something to come into my life to challenge me and change me. And you know what? I'm going to do the best to live my life for you the way you want it to be lived. And if those things come, I'm going to rejoice and praise you, because I just got to believe that if you send them anyway, even though I'm doing everything right, that you've got a reason and a purpose for it. That's what Job said. Man, oh man, if we all could have the attitude of him, this world would be a totally different place. We're going to talk about him a little bit more in just a minute. In fact, we're going to talk about him now, because that's where my notes are. Amen. Let's just talk about Job now. How about that? One of these characters we see the truth in is Job. Let me tell you something about Job. I've preached on him several times before. Usually when I preach about Job, it's about trusting God in times that you don't understand, and about having the faith it takes. But let me tell you something about Job. Job had 10 children. Job had thousands of livestock. Job was a very wealthy man. He had it all. But the most important thing about Job was he loved God.
Amen.
And he served God to the nth degree. He was even so concerned about his children when they would get together and have get-togethers. He was so afraid they may have sinned against God that he himself would offer sacrifices on their behalf. This man was walking the walk and talking the talk.
Amen.
This man had it all. But God allowed Satan to destroy his life. Now, does that make sense? I know what some of you are thinking. Ooh, if God did that to him, what's he got in store for me? Because I ain't nowhere near as good as Job is or was. But let me tell you something. God had a plan. Through all that suffering, God had a plan. God was testing the faith of Job. God already knew the outcome, didn't he? He already knew what was going to happen. But he had to prove a few people wrong. Number one, and first and foremost, was the devil himself. He had to prove that, hey, I've got a person right here that no matter what I allow you to do to him, he's going to remain faithful to me. I ask us the question here today. If that had happened to us, if one day you woke up and before the end of that day came, all of your children were dead, all of your possessions were destroyed, everything you own was stolen and gone, would you still praise God in the storm? Would you praise him? Would you say, naked I came into this world, naked I will leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord, as Job did when he rent his clothes. He praised God even in the midst of losing everything. He told his wife and his friends, can I not expect bad with good? God's not always going to just give me good things. There's going to be some bad that comes in my life. That's going to happen. In Job, we see that everything, even his suffering, had a purpose. It had a purpose. There was nothing, not even Satan, that was beyond God's control for good in Job's life. Everything worked out for the good in the end. Guys, all things in this scripture means that there is nothing which falls outside of God's control and which works contrary to our good. All things work together. All things. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. You may not understand some of these things. They may not make sense to you. And guess what? We're not supposed to be able to make sense out of everything that God's doing in our lives. We're just supposed to trust and obey. Trust and obey. That's what we're called to do. Let's look at the third promise here. His promises are collective. They're collective. How do we know that in this verse? Because it says, all things work together. They collectively work together in our lives. This is a promise God has made. All of these things are going to work together. Notice this verse doesn't say that everything's good that's going to work together. This verse doesn't say all good things work together. It says no, all things work together. Good and bad work together for good. See, that's something we forget about a lot of times. Oh, we praise God when things are going good, right? Amen. But let something bad happen in your life. How much do you praise him then? How much do you thank him then? Those are the times we ought to be thanking him the most. You know why? Because he's molding us. He's building us. He's turning us into something great. That's when we really need to thank him. Oh, yeah. We know when things are going good, everything's going to be fine, right? But when things are rough in our life, do you get on your knees and say, God, I don't understand this, but I'm thanking you for it because I know you're going to do something great out of this.
Amen.
That's what we got to do. That's what we got to understand. You know, there's a difference here. Lots of things that happen to us in life are not good, but rather evil. They're bad. They're bad things. And taken alone, suffering is bad, but the promise is that even evil can bring about good. When we see the bigger picture, just take Joseph for example. Let's think about Joseph for a minute. What about Joseph? His brothers were so jealous of him. Oh, they just thought that their father loved him so much more than them, so they concocted this scheme. They took that coat of many colors that he was so happy about and that they were so jealous of, and they got a wild animal and smeared the blood all over it and carried it back to their dad, threw him and left him for dead, and he ends up getting sold into slavery. You know the story. And eventually he was elevated to the second highest in command in all of Egypt, right under Pharaoh. So you see, that bad part of his life worked for something good, didn't it? The nation of Israel was saved because of what happened to Joseph. There was such great famine there. Had it not been for Joseph and his interpretation of those dreams, the nation of Israel would have perished. So yeah, he got beat up. Yeah, he got mistreated. Yes, he got sold into slavery. But it was all for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
It was all for His glory. You know, everything that happens in our life, you know, Paul doesn't say that each event is good or even that each incident will produce that which is good. But he informs us that all of the events working together produce what is good. Not each individual event, all of them together. It's kind of like when you make a cake. I don't make cakes, but I know about them. I eat them. Amen? They're good. And on the eighth day, God made a cake and he said, it is good. Eat it. Amen? And I have eaten plenty of them in my life. Trust me. Amen? But when you're making a cake, what you got to do? You got to put all the ingredients together, right? If you get one little thing wrong, that cake just doesn't taste right, does it? It doesn't taste right. Well, let me tell you something. You may not like what's going into your life right now because you're experiencing the ingredients individually right now. God's giving you a little dose of this. God's allowing a little dab of that. God's pouring a little bit of this into your life. And you may not like it right now because you're experiencing all those ingredients that are going into making you right now. But remember this, God knows the recipe, amen? God knows the recipe and He's creating a wonderful masterpiece in your life. You may not believe that, but He's doing it. Yeah, He's pouring that heartache in your life. Yes, He's allowing a little dab of misfortune in your life. Yes, He's allowing people to walk in and out of your life right now. But guess what? It's all for good to those who know Him and love Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's about. He's constructing that masterpiece right now. Promise number four. His promises are constructive. Not destructive, constructive. His promises are constructive. How do we know that? For the Scripture says, for the good. For the good. All things work together for the good. In other words, good and bad come together in the end for the good. How do we know that? Because God's promised it in this Scripture. He's told us that. The end result in your life will be blessing because of all these ingredients that pour in together. That's the promise that everything will work out in the end. God loves you and has your best interests in mind. You may say, well, preacher, God must not love me too well because I've had a lot of bad things happen in my life. Yeah, Jesus did too. Jesus had some pretty bad things happen to him too. You know what? But he kept his focus. He kept on his mission. He didn't get off of what God was having him do. And if you'll stay on the course that God has charted for you, I don't care what's happening in your life right now, you will be blessed in the end. May not see it on this earth, but you're going to get it one day. You're going to have it one day. I can promise you that. God loves you and has your best interests in mind, although you may only see the negative now. You may only see the negative now. Someday you're going to see the good. You're going to see it. Sometimes we're given the opportunity to see the good now while we're alive, but sometimes we won't see it until we've already gone on to be with Him. But one way or another, you're going to see it. There's this lady who used to come to our school sometimes, and she taught this program, and one of her sayings was this: you can hear me now, or you can hear me later, but one way you're going to hear me. That was her motto. And she's right. That's what God's saying here. You know, you may see it now, or you may see it later, but one way you're going to see the good that I'm going to do for you if you just trust me and believe what this verse says. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You just trust and believe what this verse says. Promise number 5, and we're going to close after this one. His promises are conditional now. You're like, oh, I knew there was a catch here, preacher. I knew all this good stuff you're telling us. Now there's a catch. But let me tell you something, it's a simple catch. It's a very simple catch. The conditional part of this scripture is when it says, those who love the Lord, those who are the called according to His purpose. You see, before God can enact these promises and blessings in your life, you've got to be His child. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. These promises are for the people who know Jesus in their life, who've given their lives to Jesus. The final truth about the promises of God is that they are conditional. All things work together for good only when they're part of God's plan. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, then the end, guys, is not going to be good. And the path is not going to be pleasant. Let me just say that. The end is not going to be good and the path is not going to be pleasant if you don't know Jesus. Because you see, in the very end, you're going to miss out on the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to be faced with the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment for unbelievers. That is going to be the judgment in which you're going to hear Jesus utter these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not going to hear those words. Amen. How many of you are glad you're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in."
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're working for. Guys, once you're saved, you're saved. Once you've truly had an experience with Jesus, you can't do anything to undo that. I don't believe this business about you can lose your salvation. Now, here's the catch. Some people never had it to start with. Amen. Some people think they got it, but they really didn't have it to begin with. But once you've gotten it, once you've tasted of it, you can't let go of it. You can't get out of it. You're in it, baby. You in it. Woo! You in it. Amen?
Amen.
You ain't going to do anything to change that. You're in it. Guys, if you remove God from the equation, everything changes in your life. You don't believe that? I'm not going to encourage you to try that. But if you don't believe that and you've done that, what's happened to you? I guarantee you, you've run into roadblocks. You've run into dead ends. You've discovered that, hey, you know what? I am nothing without God. You know why? Because Jesus died on that cross for us that we may have eternal life, but also that we will lean on Him and not our own understanding. When we try to figure out everything ourselves, we're not going to get there. Because God wants us to cast our cares on Him. All things work together for the good of those who love God. Those who are the called according to His purpose. Guys, this is God's promise to each one of us. Maybe you are here today and you still don't understand how God can bring good out of pain that's going on in your life right now. Well, let me tell you something. You just keep praising Him and you see what that pain will bring you in the end. It's going to bring you goodness. It's going to bring you blessing. It's going to bring you what you prayed for. Guys, if God gave us everything we asked for and everything we prayed for without trying us a little bit along the way, we wouldn't appreciate what He gives us. Amen. We wouldn't appreciate it. So we have to go through these trials. We have to face these things. I pray that God's going to reveal His will to you in time if He's not already doing it now. And He will. Until then, I want you to grab this promise and I want you to hold on tight to it. I want you to put this to memory, this verse right here. This verse has 5 promises God's given you right here in this one verse. Put your hand in God's hand and trust in Him. You know what? You may say, "Well, preacher, I don't know. I'm a believer, but I'm messing up a little along the way." I'm going to steal something from Brother Dennis, if he doesn't mind. He told me this Wednesday night, and this is stuck in my mind. A broken crayon still colors. Amen. A broken crayon still colors. We need to be cautious about how hard we get on it. God's speaking to me about this. We need to be careful about how we speak to other believers when they're slipping up a little along the way, because even a broken crayon still colors. There's still good that's going on in that person's life. Yeah. Do they need to change some things? Absolutely. But let's pray that God will bring about those changes. Amen. Amen. Guys, it's my sincere prayer today that you'll stand on these promises, that you'll believe these promises, because they're true. I've seen them in my life. Many of you raised your hand a minute ago and said, you know what? Yes, sirree. Things have gone good for me when I thought nothing but bad was going on, and I've seen the results of it. You just got to have faith. You got to trust. We're going to talk about some more promises that God has made to us next week, but I want you to remember this verse, and I want you to recite it often in your mind. When you're having doubts, when things aren't going so good in your life, remember, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Father God, I thank you for your word. I just pray now, Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs to just come up to this old altar here and just pour their heart out to you, Lord, I pray they will, however you stir in their hearts today. If there's anybody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they take the hand of this old preacher, Lord, and we can talk about that. But God, most importantly, help us to understand, Lord, that you really are all about our good and our best. You always have our best interests at heart. Lord, help us to think about what we've talked about here today. And we're going to give you the praise, Lord. We're going to thank you for the storms that lie ahead. Because, Lord, we know in those storms there's always a rainbow at the other end. And we thank you for that, God. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
465.
465. Let's stand and sing hymn 465. The altar's open as always if you need to come and pray.